All right, good evening, everyone. Freilich and Chanukah. It is an incredible success. I really want to thank Michal so much for the Weisberg Mishpacha for opening their home, Baruch Hashem. It's always a great zechus, Baruch Hashem, to be able to go ahead and share Torah here in Eretz Yisrael. I think always part of the beauty, when we come to Eretz Yisrael, part of the beauty always is like different venues to be able to share Torah. It's just sharing with some people. Last night, Baruch Hashem, so Aviva and the girls and I were zocha to be down south in Netivot, in an army base, just a couple of kilometers away from the border, from the Gaza border, and had the opportunity to address a group of soldiers to share. They wanted, it's always awkward, and they ask for divrei hesorus. You know, it's the most imbalanced equation one could possibly imagine. But only in Eretz Yisrael, you know, can you have such varied experiences within such a short amount of time. So last night, Baruch Hashem, the fourth night of Chanukah, I'll just share with you what I shared over there, which I thought was just such an amazing thing, is last night was the fourth night of Chanukah. You know, we're going to talk about some of the major machloksim, some of the major disputes that revolve around Chanukah. But it's interesting, one of the major machloksim is machloksim Hashem Beis Hillel. Actually, you know what? We'll save it for this year. Anyway, it's a great zechus Baruch Hashem tonight to be in Ramat Eshkol. So again, literally again, from one end of the Jewish people to the other end of the Jewish people, over the course between the fourth and fifth nights of Chanukah, our shir tonight is sponsored by the Weisberg and Zeilen Gold families, Le'iloi Nishmas, Rina Bracha Bas Yehuda, Allah Shalom, we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an Aliyah and the family in Nechama. So let's talk a little bit about Chanukah. So we're familiar again with the Gemara Masechet Shabbos. The Gemara Masechet Shabbos, Daf Chaf Aleph, on the base 21b, talks about the concept of Chanukah. Now, when the Gemara introduces us to the concept of Chanukah, Chanukah revolves around which event? Which event? If you don't answer, I'm going to call my daughters. It's just going to be humiliating for them, right? So again, what's the pivotal event of Chanukah? Good, military victory or Nes of the Pach Shemen, right? Again, those are the two primary things, and they find expression in different ways. Remember, again, in Alanisim, Bimei Matasio, we speak a little bit about the military victory as well as about the Nes of the Pach Shemen. And again, but the Chanukah itself and the observance of Chanukah finds its expression in the kindling of the menorah. So again, so pretty much we have an eight-day Yom Tov, celebrating an incredible miracle, a beautiful miracle, Chashmonaim, after defeating the Syrian Greeks. And just to give a little bit of context, you know, often when we think about Chanukah, so we think about this image of the Chashmonaim coming back into the Beis HaMikdash, and they can't find a jug of oil. You know, there's a little detail of the story that often goes overlooked. It's not just oil that was missing. What else was missing? The menorah. Remember again, the Greeks took everything of value. The menorah was solid gold. So when the Chashmonaim come back to the Beis HaMikdash, forget about oil. Oil was the least of their problems. There was no menorah. So the Gemara Maseches Menachos actually says so beautifully. So what did they use for the first year? It's actually an incredible Gemara. The Gemara says that year number one, they took their spears. They bundled their spears together into the form of a menorah. The Gemara says, Ha'ashiru. Then they got a little bit more money. They made it next year out of tin. The following year, out of copper. The following year, and again, so on, silver. Until finally, sometime later on, they reestablished a golden menorah. So it just contextualizes it a little bit. It's not just about oil. It's about walking into a Beis HaMikdash that has nothing, that is totally void of any semblance of what you saw just a few years earlier. So, but nevertheless, the miracle is focused on the Pach Shemen. One little jug of oil that should have only remained lit for one night, miraculously stays lit for 8 nights. If I were to ask, okay, beautiful. Again, we all know the story. If I were to ask you, what's the problem with this narrative? What bothers you about it? So you have a miracle about a cruise of oil. What's the problem? And no one has any. So excellent. So first of all, again, in a general halachic sense, there's a concept that we really didn't need ritually pure oil, right? At the end of the day, there's a concept, without getting too technical over here, there's a concept of tumah hutra betzibur, which is that when 51% of Klal Yisrael is tameh, technically the laws of tumah are suspended, which means that they could have even lit with ritually impure oil. Good, excellent. So that's question. That's, and again, one of the famous questions on Chanukah. Good. What else? We're talking about celebrating a miracle. Beautiful. So what bothers you about this?
We just won a war. Why are we celebrating just the oil. That's like
excellent.
So insignificant compared to the war.
Great. Beautiful. See, I always count on the Baltimore people. Oh, Hashem. Good. Right? Excellent. In other words, that look at what's happened over here. There was, remember, what do we say in Alanis? Matis Yo. Chesh Baruch Hu gave over Rabim Biad Ma'atin. Rabim Biad Ma'atin. Tneim Biad Tehorim. Giborim Biad Chaloshim. There was such an overwhelming military victory. Something that came as a total shock, a total surprise. And the truth is, as far as our observance of Hanukkah goes, it's almost totally ignored. Right? It finds its expression in davening, but it doesn't really find its expression in our observance of the Yom Tov. Good, excellent. What else? What else? Let me ask you this question. Do we celebrate every single miracle that occurred in the Beis HaMikdash? No. There's a Mishnah Maseches Avos. Mishnah Maseches Avos, Perakei Mishnah Hei, writes, Asara Nisim Naasu Lavosinu BeBeis HaMikdash. There were 10 miracles that occurred for our forefathers in the Beis HaMikdash. 10 constant miracles. And the Mishnah goes through all of them. We're not going to go through all of them right now, but dramatic miracles. How many of those miracles do we memorialize? And the answer is zero. Zero. In other words, you could look at the Mishnah, Perakei Mishnah Hei, and it goes through the list. But aside from listing the miracles, there's no observance of those miracles. There's no zecher to those miracles. So here, I get it. A little jug of oil lasting for 8 days, I'm not minimizing it at all. It's incredible, it's beautiful, it's dramatic. But the truth is, it's just one of many miracles within the Beis HaMikdash. And if we're not memorializing the consistent and constant miracles that occurred day in and day out, why go ahead and commemorate this one episodic miracle? That's the fundamental question. So the answer to this has to be as follows. Miracles, Chaim Shmulevitz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, discusses this concept where he says miracles fall into one of two categories. What do we mean? There are what he calls utilitarian miracles. He doesn't call it that, but we'll call it that for tonight. Utilitarian miracles and message miracles. Give me an example of a utilitarian miracle. Right, utilitarian miracle is a miracle that serves a purpose or addresses an acute need. What's an example of that? Classic example of that. Yam Suf. Right, Yam Suf, splitting of the sea. Klal Yisrael, again, remember, is leaving Mitzrayim. So the Egyptians are right behind us. The sea is in front of us. So there are one of two options. What are the two options? Either die, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu splits the sea. So that ultimately is a necessary miracle that has to be done in order for us to go ahead and survive. And you can find the Mun, right? The Be'er of Miriam. You could fill a long list of miracles that are necessary, ultimately for the continuity of Klal Yisrael. Those are utilitarian miracles. But then there are other kinds of miracles where HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't need to do it. Give an example of a miracle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't need to do. An example. Unnecessary miracle. Pach Shemen. Right? Hanukkah. Remember, let's play this out. Let's say the oil wouldn't have lasted for 8 days. What would have happened? Nothing would have happened. In other words, the menorah would remain lit for 1 day. And then again, 7 days later, when we are once again in a state of tara, state of ritual purity, we would have made more oil. Okay, so in other words, don't get me wrong. This is great. This is beautiful. It's fantastic. But not necessary. In other words, the world would have gone on. We would have still been here tonight, right? Klal Yisrael would have still been just fine had the oil not lasted 8 days. But let's work backwards. So therefore, the miracle of the Pach Shemen is an unnecessary miracle. It's an unnecessary miracle. If a miracle is unnecessary, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it anyway, what does that tell you? What do you think? I'm sorry?
It wasn't necessary.
Okay, good, right? That it was necessary because we did it. Good. But on a deeper level, so if it wasn't quote-unquote necessary, in other words, I didn't need it, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it anyway, why did he do it? To teach us something. This is the second category of miracles that we call message miracles. And message miracles are miracles, again, I don't need it. It doesn't have to be done. It doesn't have to be done. But at the end of the day, there's a message. I'll give you just another example from last week's parsha about a message miracle. We know the story of Yosef. one of the most traumatic and dramatic stories in the entire Chumash. Brother against brother. Literally, again, Yosef stripped of his clothing, his dignity, he's sold. Torah tells us that the brothers decide not to kill him, and they sell him to a caravan of Yishma'elim. Torah goes out of its way to tell us that the Yishma'elim were transporting Nechoz Velot. Lotus plant. Rashi says, why is Torah telling me what they're carrying? So Rashi says, because normally these caravans used to carry the most foul-smelling stuff. But in the schus of Yosef, the caravan was going ahead and carrying sweet-smelling items. So what's your question on that? Let me just paint the scenario for you over here. It's a very quiet group over here. This is all right. Hey, so let me paint the picture for you, right? Imagine you're Yosef, right? You're Yosef. Literally, you've been stripped of your dignity, stripped of your clothing. You don't know why your father sent you to your brothers who really dislike you, and that's an understatement. Your whole life, your mother is long gone, right? Rachel Imenu had passed away already beforehand. Your whole world is just turned upside down. Can you imagine Yosef's in that caravan being transported like a piece of property? Do you think he stopped and he's like, is that lotus? You know, wow. What is that? Right? With potpourri? What a beautiful scent. That's what Yosef's going to... So Chaim Shmulevitz also points out on this. He says, you're right. It was a message miracle. It was an aberration from the norm so that Yosef should realize what was happening to him was not random or haphazard. That there was Yad Hashem in everything. Message miracles don't alleviate problems. Message miracles don't address crises. Message miracles are the way that the Ribono Shel Olam communicates with us, sometimes even day in and day out, right? Think about how, so that's Hanukkah. That's Hanukkah. So now we begin to understand a little bit more. So even though, again, the Mishnah tells us that there were 10 miracles that occurred in the Beis HaMikdash, yet none of them are memorialized. None of them are eternalized, right? We could read, again, you can look it up in the Mishnah Perkei Avos, Perkei Mishnah Hey. But we don't have any Yom Tov that commemorates it. We don't have any observance, no practices, nothing. Yet Chanukah, we do go ahead and memorialize the miracle of the Pach Shemen, even though that miracle is no more significant than any of the miracles listed in Mishnah Perkei Avos. So why do we memorialize the Nes of the Pach Shemen? Why? It must be because there's a message. And this is so incredibly important for us. You know, sometimes one of the most difficult things in Yiddishkeit is that we become so proficient in the details that we forget the message, right? Everyone knows how to light the menorah. Who's obligated? When should you do it? At what time? Or outside, inside? We all know these halachas. But sometimes you can go through an entire Yom Tov, you can go through an entire lifetime, and yet you never really get into the neshama of the mitzvah. So here I'm kindling this menorah every single night to commemorate the miracle of Pach Shemen. Beautiful. A miracle that we didn't really need. A miracle we didn't really need, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu still did it for us regardless. So the only thing I could think of is it must be, that at the end of the day, the miracle contains and conveys a message. The Shaila is, so what is it? What is the message of Chanukah for us? What is the message of the Pach Shemen? Now, of course, first I want to share with you, there's not one answer to this. Right? There are many different answers and many, many, many levels of understanding. I want to share with you kind of two concepts that really coalesce into one thought. The two most dramatic disputes when it comes to Chanukah. Halachic disputes. What are the two most dramatic halachic disputes when it comes to Chanukah? Good. So which way? Which way to which way? Good. Excellent. So good. So number one, machlokes. Excellent. Machlokes and Shaim Beis Hillel. How do you light? So again, this is the Gemara Masechet Shabbos Chaf Aleph Omid Beis 21b. So the Gemara says Beis Shammai Omrim. Yom Rishon Madlik Shmona. Beis Shammai says, on night number one, you light 8 candles. You start with the full menorah, 8 candles. Mikan ve'ilich, poches v'holich. And on every subsequent night, you remove a candle. So Beis Shammai, you start with 8, you go to 1. Ubeisila omrim yom rishon madlik achos. Beisila says, no, on the first night you light one candle. Mikan ve'elech mosif v'holech. You add in one, you add on one candle each night. So I've started mentioning before. So last night, when we were zocha to be at this army base, so I said over to the chevra there, the beautiful Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov says that there's one night of Chanukah where there's perfect shalom. What's the one night of Chanukah where there's perfect shalom? The fourth night, last night. Why? Because whether you are Beis Shammai or whether you are Beis Hillel, one night of Chanukah, everyone's menorah looks exactly the same. That's the skula. The skula of the fourth night of Chanukah is the skula of Achdus, is the skula of being Ishechad Belev Echad, of complete unity within Klal Yisrael. There's the machlokes every other night, not just the Chanukah, every other night of the year, right? There's some machlokes. One night of the year, the universe for Klal Yisrael is in perfect harmony, and there's no machlokes. There's no machlokes. Everyone's lighting four neros. So this is fundamental machlokes number one. Beis Shammai, 8-1, what we call poches v'holech, you diminish. Beis Hillel, mosif v'holech, 1-8. That's machlokes number one. What's the second machlokes? Major machlokes. I'm sorry? Good. I actually made a say there's more than two machlokes. Good. The other one is right to left or left to right. Excellent. Good. Good. Another one. I'm sorry? Where to light, meaning what? Good. Again, Lars, where should one light? Again, the Pesach, or ultimately, again, this is also a fundamental discussion on halacha. Good. All right, there's many more than two machlokes that I'm coming to realize. Good. Good. What's the second one that I'm looking for? There's another interesting machlokes of Hanocha versus Hadlaka. Meaning what? So the Gemara deals with the following situation. When, we'll get technical here for just a moment. When is it that one fulfills the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? Is it at the moment that you light the menorah or when you place the menorah down? That's the machlokas. Now, just to illustrate how this plays out, let's say I light my menorah in my kitchen, right? And then I bring it to the window. So am I yotzi the mitzvah? What would you say? Am I yotzi? I'll give you a hint. You cannot be wrong on this one. Right? It's a machlokas, right? Why? If you hold hadlaka osem mitzvah, that the kindling is what affects the mitzvah, that means when you kindle the menorah, everything there has to be perfect. The menorah has to be in the right place. I'll give you another example of this. Let's say I light my menorah, and there's only 2 minutes worth of oil in it. But then after I light it, I add in more oil. Am I yotze or not? So again, if you hold hadlaka, that the act of kindling creates the mitzvah, you're not yotze. Because in order, if you hold hadlaka osem mitzvah, anything and everything you need to fulfill the mitzvah has to be present at that moment you kindle. If you hold hanocha, the placement affects the mitzvah, then the truth is, as long as at some point I place it down in the right place, l'shem mitzvah sner Chanukah, I'm good to go. I'm good to go. So two major machloksim that at first glance have nothing to do with each other. But I want to share with you an incredible, incredible idea, which I think then comes full circle. There's a beautiful insight by the Shem Yishmuel. Shem Yishmuel is the Sakach of a Rebbe. And the Shem Yishmuel says like this. Actually, I want to quote to you. I want to quote to you part of it. He says like this. Shem Yishmuel gives the following introduction. If I were to ask you, what is the Avoda of Chanukah? What would you say? Like, right, there's always a personal Avoda. So what is the Avoda of Chanukah? I'm sorry? One more time. Beautiful. Become someone's makator. In other words, recognizing through the miracle of the Pach Shem and also recognizing all the miracles you have in life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, those are beautiful, good. What else?
Looking at her. I'm sorry? Looking at her.
So there is, in Chassidus, there's a concept of the avodah of just staring at the Neros. Al-Pi Kabbalah, it's brought down that, remember, over Chanukah, we light 36 Neros. The Zohar brings down that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the first light, which he subsequently hid away, that first light remained in the world for 36 hours. So the Svarim bring down that when you look at the fire of the Ner Chanukah, it's as if literally you're staring at that original light of creation. That's why many of the tzaddikim over the years spend hours just literally looking at the Neros Chanukah. Beautiful. So we have again, Hakaras HaTov, looking at the Neros, good. What else? Any other thoughts? The Avodah, right? And this is an important question because we're observing Chanukah now. How do you know if you have fulfilled your observance of Chanukah? So what's the Avodah? I'm sorry?
Learning the
Halachas. Beautiful. Beautiful. Good. Can't do anything without learning the Halachas. Excellent. Any other thoughts? The Shem Yishmuel says like this. Shem Yishmuel says that the Avodah of Chanukah is Tshuva. It's Tshuva. Now the truth is, let's give a little bit of context over here. The Avodah of every day is Tshuva. Right? We like to think, often what we do is we kind of relegate Tshuva to 2 months out of the year, right? Tshuva is an Elul and Tishrei thing, right? The rest of the year is then being busy doing the stuff that I'll have to do tshuva for later, right? But in fact, the avodah of tshuva is all year round. It's always, I'm always supposed to be about tshuva. That's my goal. But specifically, the Shem Yishmuel says that the avodah of Chanukah is tshuva. Now, where does he get this from? It's a very, I think it's a very simple idea. Chanukah, remember again, Chanukah means a dedication. What happened on Chanukah? There was a rededication of the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was defiled. The Beis HaMikdash was mistreated. The Beis HaMikdash was not destroyed, but on the inside, it was defiled. Chanukah represents the rededication of the Beis HaMikdash for its intended use. What's tshuva? What's tshuva? At its core, what's tshuva? You can't say repentance, because no one knows what that word means really. Right? So what's tshuva? It's a rededication, right? What tshuva is saying, you know what? I have messed up in life, and as a result, maybe I've defiled my bilvavi mishkan evna, right? I have defiled my mikdash maat. So tshuva is, I want to clear out the debris from my personal Beis HaMikdash, and I want to rededicate myself. That's what tshuva is. So Shem Yishmuel says Chanukah, which celebrates the rededication of the Beis HaMikdash, in reality is a time that is mesugal, is a time that is ripe and unique and set aside for the avodah of tshuva. If I were to ask you, what's the hardest part of tshuva? Hardest part? So good. So probably one of the hardest parts is like hakara sachet, like being honest with myself enough to actually own up to what I've done wrong. Beautiful. What else?
Changing.
I'm sorry?
Changing.
Excellent. Good. Change. Right, the Ramchal brings down in his Akdamot Mesilas Yesharim that it is easier to learn kol ha-Torah kula than it is to change one thing about yourself. Good. What else? I'll piggyback on the change piece a little bit, which is, I won't speak personally. Sometimes one of the hardest things to tshuva is, where do I start? Right? Because, again, this is a group of nashim sidkanios, so fine. But maybe you have a friend who's not perfect, right? And like, for many of us, it's not like one thing I have to fix. It's multiple things I have to fix. Now, granted, some are more severe, some are less severe, some are more acute, some are less acute. But a lot of times what ends up happening with tshuva is, I don't know where to start. Like, how do I get this process started? So, what happens in life when you have a process you have to engage in, but you don't know where to start? So, generally what happens is, people just don't start. So, I'll tell you something interesting about tshuva. Anyone here ever have something they do tshuva for year after year after year? Good. Okay, right? Well, I think many of us have that. You ever wonder to yourself, like, why is that? It's not like I'm not a caring person. It's not like I'm lazy. I'm working on this. So something interesting. You know what often happens with tshuva? When we think about the process of tshuva, right? So I think about something that, you know, a moment in your life when you wanted to change. Often, what was the first thing you did in that process of change? It's the hardest. But I'm saying, what's the first step we often take in change? No. Everyone here is a finished product. All right, good. I'm sorry?
A big step,
right? Take a big step. Good. Let me reframe it a little bit. Hold on to the big step for just a second, because we're going to get to that mamish in a moment. I think often what ends up happening with people is, when we think about tshuva, so it often becomes about things that we're taking on. Right? So now again, I want to make myself a better person. So what am I going to do? I'm going to daven with more kavana, which is beautiful. I'm going to say more tehillim. I'm going to say, you know, nishma 73 times in 4 minutes. You know, whatever it is that I'm going to take on, right? So it's interesting. It's interesting because consciously or subconsciously, whenever we think about the process of change, we always focus on positive, dynamic things as opposed to actually affecting change inside of me. Now, taking on positive, dynamic things is a good thing. It's beautiful. But that's actually not the first step to change, usually. Usually the first step to change is really identifying like what's misfiring, what's broken inside of me. And often it's about rectifying the negative before it is taking on the positive. And a lot of times in life, we don't get the necessary traction for the changes we want to make because we're often a little bit misdirected in terms of where we need to go. So now let's bring this back to Hanukkah. So the Shem Yishmuel says that Hanukkah, the Yom Tov of rededication, is in its essence the Yom Tov of tshuva. That's what Hanukkah, you want to know what Hanukkah, somebody asks you, how was your Hanukkah? Did you have a successful Hanukkah? How do you gauge a successful Hanukkah? And the answer is, was I able to affect personalistic change? Did I change as a human being? Did I change as a person? Was I able to affect change within myself? If the answer to that is yes, that's the fantastic Hanukkah. And if the answer to that is no, it doesn't mean it was a bad Hanukkah. It means perhaps I observed like a mechanistic Hanukkah. I did what I was supposed to do, but I did not get to the neshama of Hanukkah. So the shaila is, how do we tap into the tshuva of Hanukkah? So listen to what the Shem Yishmuel says. The Shem Yishmuel says, now, one word of introduction. This is already the third part of the introduction. Right? The Shem Yishmuel says something amazing, and this is something we often overlook. He says, halacha. Right? People often look at halacha. You know, in halacha, there's an expression of halacha yevesha, dry halacha. Dry halacha just means, you know, mutter aser, tamei tahar, kasher treif. You know, what's the halacha? What sometimes you don't understand is that halacha has an neshama also. That embedded within every single halacha is a deeper moral, ethical lesson as well. There is no such thing as a halacha that is simply a mechanistic detail. Every halacha has multiple layers of deeper understanding as well. So the Shem Yishmuel says like this. He says, the machlokes beisham and beisilel. Machlokes beisham and beisilel. About whether or not you light 8 to 1, right? Poches vaholech, like beishamai, or mosif holech, 1 to 8. Shem Yishmuel says, is not simply a machlokes in just how you light the menorah. It's how you do tshuva. Listen to the words of the Rebbe. I want to quote it to you. He says as follows. He says, Beishamai zedya. Beishamai says you go from 8 to 1. Poches v'holich. Mitchila yasho b'tshuva shlema. V'yitein daito al avonosav asher asimo mivado. V'yir shebechol eis yisma'atu ma'asav. V'han hagosav asher lo tovim hema. Beishamai says, you know how you do tshuva? You know how you do tshuva? Identify all the things you're doing wrong. I know it sounds like you're like, I shouldn't have come tonight, right? Identify all the things you're doing wrong. Not to anyone else, to yourself. To yourself. A personal inventory. What are all the things I'm doing wrong? And then Beishamai says, what do you do? What do you do? Every day, try to tackle something different. And when you try to tackle something different every day, what do? Slowly but surely, you remove some of those negativities from your life step by step. Says the Shem Yishmuel, Beishamai says, on the first night you start with 8 neros. But here's what's incredible. In Beishamai's worldview, the 8 neros represent all of the things that are misfiring and broken inside of me. And then that's what's my goal? By the time I get to the second night, 7 eros. Great news. I've addressed something. Now, by the way, addressing something doesn't mean, okay, like we're done, right? But it means is I'm addressing it. I'm addressing it. You know, One of the interesting things is a lot of controversy about this, but like people in addiction programs, like 12-step programs. What's interesting is if you ever speak to someone like, say, like a recovering alcoholic or any of the addictions, it's funny. People never say they've recovered. They're always in recovery. I've been sober for 30 years. I don't know, sober for 30 years? That kind of sounds like you're recovered, right? Like, no, that's not the, it's actually, it's fascinating. It's fascinating. Why? Because there's an understanding that this is an avoda. This is an avoda. Could I say that it's done? That it's, no. So Beis Shammai's worldview, Beis Shammai says, okay, first night of Hanukkah, what do you do when you stand in your menorah? You find the courage to take out a piece of paper and to write down all the things that are broken. Write it all down. You don't have to share it with anyone, but find the time, take a half hour. Take a half hour to go ahead and literally take personal inventory. You know the most beautiful part of Neres Hanukkah? The most beautiful part is the Isser Malacha that comes for the half hour after you light. You're not supposed to do anything. Now, for many of us, not doing anything is very complicated. Especially, I feel very old in this room. You're all young. So you also all grew up in a different generation with devices and all different things. So the notion of just like not doing something or not being involved or not chatting with someone sometimes can be a little bit difficult, but condition yourself to it. There's nothing more beautiful in the world than a half hour of solitude with yourself and the Neros Chanukah. It's not talking to people. It's not schmoozing with people. It's just being present in that moment. So Beis Shammai says, what do you do with that? Inventory. Personal inventory. First night, let it all out. Right? Put it all down on a piece of paper. What's misfiring in your life? And then what do? You make a plan. The goal is over each night of Hanukkah to be able to take away one ner. And the taking away of one ner represents, I have found the courage to address one of the things that is broken inside of me. Haven't fixed it. I'm not saying I fixed it. But I'm addressing it. Until, can you imagine in Beis Shammai's house, the last night of Hanukkah? We always think, this is incredible, right? I've always thought Beis Shammai is like the most anticlimactic ending to Hanukkah, right? It's the last night of Hanukkah, and there's one ner. It's sad. Like, it seems like even like a shtickle pathetic. Like, one, that's what you got after 8 days. But how incredible is that? How incredible is a Hanukkah where you could say, you know what? I started out with a whole bunch of stuff that was broken inside of me. And every single day of Hanukkah, I addressed something. And the removal of each of those neros symbolizes that I'm addressing it. Now, you might ask, according to Beis Shammai, so I don't know, maybe how what should you do on the last night? What did you do last night? Maybe there should be no neros. Wouldn't that be incredible? But of course, what's Beis Shammai's answer to that? No such thing as no neros. There's no such thing as a person. I mean, there is a such thing as a person who has nothing to work on. What do we call them? Dead. Right, that's usually what we call them. Yeah, dead. No, even tzaddikim, right? Tzaddikim always have, like, ain tzaddik bar shalo yechta, right? Tzaddikim have plenty to work on. When a person is no longer in this world, you have nothing to work on. That's absolutely true. You have nothing to work on. So you can never go down to zero candles. But in Beis Shammai's worldview, the entire avoda of Hanukkah is to identify that which is broken and actively work on something each of the nights. Beis Hillel, listen to this. So Beis Hillel, on the other hand, holds. Beis Hillel says, here's the problem. If you're going to force people to take an inventory of everything that's wrong and everything that's broken and force them to go ahead and confront that, what will most people do? Right? Most people will give, they won't even try. It's very difficult to introspect. And for many of us, it's painful to introspect. Again, this is a young chevra over here. So, you know, hopefully you don't have any life regrets or remorse or anything like that. But as you get older, you think about missed opportunities and you think about mistakes that you've made from which you just can't turn back the clock. It is what it is. And it's painful. So a lot of times introspection is a very difficult process because it forces me to confront like the ghosts of the past. And a lot of times they still says, if you force a person to do that, they're just going to walk away from the process. I mean, walk away from Neros Chanukah, but remember, it's easy enough to light your menorah than what? get busy with something else. So Beis Hillel says, I have a different suggestion for how to tap into the tshuva of Chanukah. Don't worry about going ahead and taking a personal inventory. Don't worry about your averus. That's not the avodah. What's the avodah, says Beis Hillel? Listen to this. He says, Al yashis libo lahachrasa sachitzonim, ela tchila ba'alos alavavo lazov dark hara, zu etzei utza, yis ami sitar betulam asim tovim. So he goes on, essentially what Beis Hillel says is, you want to engage in tshuva? Push yourself to do something positive. Light one additional nair. According to Beis Hillel, the pathway to the tshuva of Chanukah is filled not with introspection and not with identifying that which is broken and addressing that which is broken, just the opposite. I'm not thinking about that which is broken. I'm going to think about how I could bring more good into my life and more good into my world. So the first day of Hanukkah, I'm going to light one additional nair. That additional nair says, on the first day, I'm going to do something extra. What's the extra? Whatever you want it to be. You want it to be Torah. You want it to be Tefillah. You want it to be Chesed. You want it to be Achnasas Archim. You want it to be Gerchon. Whatever you want. Whatever you want. But that's your nair. And the avoda over Hanukkah, says Beis Hillel, is every single day, add something additional to your life. Add something additional. That's the avoda. Now the truth is, okay, so fine. So this is the Shem Yishmuel. This is the machlokas of Shem Yishmuel. So suddenly again, it's not just the machlokas about how to light. It's the machlokas about how to tap into the comprehensive, cathartic, tshuva power of Chanukah. These are days of rededication. These are days in which we could change our lives. These are days that if we tap into the energy of these days, we could emerge fundamentally different people. So the machlokis is, how do you tap into the energy? So Beis Shammai says, introspection, inventory, and every day tackle something. Take away something negative from your life every day. Beis Hillel says, no, don't do that. Because if you do that, chances are you're just going to give up. Instead, add some light of positivity. Add some goodness. Add some tara. Add some kedusha to your life each and every day. Yishem Yishmuel says, this is the same machlokas. Remember, that's machlokas one. What was machlokas two? Hadlaka versus hanacha. What's the mitzvah ner chanukah? When do you fulfill it? Is it the kindling or is it the places? Listen to Yishem Yishmuel says. He says something amazing. He says, it's the same machlokas. He says, lahaniach, right? Hanacha means to put something down. But it could also mean to put something aside. Hanacha osa mitzvah says that if you want to become spiritually great, you have to identify the things that are broken inside of you, the things that are holding you back. You have to take them, and you have to put them on the side. Hanacha osa mitzvah. Hadlaka osa mitzvah says no. The pathway to spiritual success is by igniting yourself with holiness. Engage in something positive. Engage in something beautiful. Take on something additional upon yourself. And through that, you could fundamentally change your life. Shem Yishmuel posits that these two machlokes were not independent machlokes. It's the same machlokes. It's the same machlokes. How do I tap into the comprehensive, cathartic power of Chanukah to become a true Baal Tshuva? Is it personal inventory? Identifying the things that are negative, that are broken, that are holding me back? Beis Shammai, 8-1, Hanacha Osa Mitzvah? Or no? Maybe it's just about pushing myself a little bit more. That so often in life, we're just so content with being mediocre, right? We look around, and as long as I'm pretty much doing the same thing as everyone else, that must mean that I'm fine. Beis Hillel says, no, you're your own person. And you have your own tafkid and your own tachlis in this world. So Beis Hillel says, hadlaka osa mitzvah, ignite yourself. Do something additional. Add an additional candle every single day. So who's right? Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. Who's right? Both. An excellent and safe answer, right? Both. But it's actually well said. During the year, who's right? What do you think? During the year. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Sur Meira V'Yaseh Tov. That's a playbook, right? That's a plan for spiritual growth and development. So ultimately, again, who does that sound like? Sur Meira V'Yaseh Tov, who does that sound like? Beis Shammai. During the year, the truth is, If you want to grow as a person, there are no shortcuts to growth. You know, it's interesting that today, you know, everything is about. I had someone who listened to a shir, and he actually sent me a message. And he said, Silver, I just want to tell you that the shiurim are great. I really appreciate it. So inspirational. But if you could really work on keeping it to 3 minutes or less, I really like those sound bites, right? And it was so interesting, right? And my wife says the same thing often also, right? Keep it. And I was like, I said, fine. But I said, like, okay, this is now the time that we live in, right? The time that we live in is like, give it to me fast, right? In other words, that like, I want to be inspired, but like, kind of make it like a TikTok video. In other words, make it something short, make it something simple, put it on a WhatsApp group, right? I can listen at 2 times speed, and like, come on, let's go. Which is a very dangerous mentality, because that's not how ruchnius happens. You know, you could find episodic inspiration. In other words, yeah, you hear a story, you hear a vart, it's like, incredible. And then what happens? 4 seconds later, you're still the same person. In general, throughout the year, Beishana is right. If you want to become the best version of yourself, there are no shortcuts to that. It is sur meira v'aseh tov. It is poches v'holech. You start at 8 and you go down to 1. Hanacha osa mitzvah. You identify the things that are holding you back, the things that are broken, and one by one you address them and remove them. But on Chanukah, the halacha follows Beisilah, which is incredible. On Chanukah, the halacha follows Beisilah. We know, how do we light the menorah? 1 to 8. We know we pass in halacha l'maisa, hadlaka osa mitzvah, right? You can't light your menorah like in the bathroom and then bring it out afterwards. It's got to be over. Everything has to be said at the time that you kindle it. On Chanukah, we paskin like Beis Hillel. And now we come full circle and we understand the miracle of the Pach Shemen. We're not celebrating the fact that a little bit of oil went ahead and remained lit for 8 days. First of all, to be honest, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do so many great things. That's not even like the best he could do. Right? It's great, don't get me wrong. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do anything and everything. Remember, think about the fact that oil ignites in general. It's such a nes nigla. Liquid, right? Liquid becomes the fuel for fire. That's a pretty incredible thing. So the idea over here of the miracle of the Pach Shemen, it's a message miracle. It's not a utilitarian miracle. So what is the message miracle? The message miracle is to teach us how to become Bali Tshuva. Chanukah is a time that is ripe for change. A time that is ripe for change. And here's the incredible part. It's not difficult change the rest of the year. The rest of the year, if you really want to change, Beishamai. Chanukah, if you want to change, you can tap into the power of Beis Hillel. And all you need to do to fuel your personalistic journey is a little bit of additional positivity, is a little bit of additional light. That's all one needs. A little bit of additional Kiddusha, a little bit of additional goodness. And you fill in the blank, however you want to do it. If you're adding in one candle a night, Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah, then you could become a Balas Tshuva over the course of these days. That is the power of Chanukah. And while this message, I think, is true every year, I've said this in a couple of different shiurim over the course of the last 2 months, we are living in a time of great change, of overwhelming change. Right? Our world has changed. Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah in Eretz Yisrael, the world as we know it, it changed. Everything changed. And I don't just mean like here in Eretz Yisrael, things changed. Everything in the world changed. You know, when I don't know if some of you saw in the news, when the first group of hostages came out. So one of the things, it was fascinating, was an article in Times of Israel they were talking about was they had to be very careful to shield the hostages from media. Not from interviews, but from reading media. Why? Because remember, these people who were kept in captivity for 50 days, they didn't know what happened, right? They were taken captive on Simchas Torah. They've been gone for the last 7 weeks. They don't know what happened to their loved ones. They don't know what happened to their communities. And they have no idea what was happening over the course of the last number of weeks over here. And you think about it. I was thinking about this. So can you imagine these precious neshamas, after going through this ordeal, and then someone sits down with them and tells them everything that happened, and essentially, your entire world has changed. Your life will never be the same. Everything is different. And for those of us in America, with the rise of anti-Semitism, we felt so at home. We felt so at home. We felt such a part of everything there. And then we see it's not, people think anti-Semitism is new. It's not new. It's always been there. It's always there. It's just this was the rupture that allowed like the lava to come out. This was the volcanic explosion that allowed all of that hatred that was always there. We shouldn't fool ourselves. Not the pshat that people became anti-Semites overnight. All of that hatred was always there. Just was kept in check because there wasn't the ability to express it. Now there's the ability. Everything has changed. Everything has changed. Right? When he came to Eretz Yisrael last when did he come? Thursday. Erev Chanukah. You know, you walk around, I don't know how it is here in Ramah Shkal, but you know, you walk around in the old city, you walk around even in town, and the truth is, it's empty. It's empty. It's empty. We went on Thursday, first time to the coastal, just to Dan. Empty. Everything is different. Everything is different. The world as we know it has changed. But the incredible thing is that when you see such a dramatic koach of change in the world, that means we have the ability to tap into that as well. And we have the ability to also affect that level of change within ourselves. This is not a normal Hanukkah because it's no longer a normal world. The world as we knew it before Simchas Torah, that was one world. And now the world after Simchas Torah is going to be a different world. But if everything around us is changing, then we have the ability to tap into that dynamic as well. I would venture to say that every single one of us here has things that we wanted to change about ourselves and within our lives over the last number of years, but haven't done it. This Chanukah is the time to do it. Chanukah is a time that is misugal for change in general. But Allah has kama v'kama, Chanukah of Tavshin Pei Dalet, 5784. This is a Yom Tov for change. And like Beis Hillel, we don't have to dig deep. You don't have to introspect. You don't have to air all of your difficult and dirty laundry. But you could just go out and decide, you know what? I want to do better. I want to live better. I want to be better. So I'm just going to push myself a little bit more. I just want to be a chassid of Beis Hillel, of Mosif HaHolech, of Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah. And again, it's already the fifth night. But on the other hand, it's only the fifth night. You can accomplish so much in one night of Chanukah, let alone the remaining nights that we have. We should be Zocha Meretz Hashem to tap into this dynamic of change. To be Zocha Meretz Hashem to add additional positivity, but not just to be like a nice idea, but to actually put it into action. Tap into the winds of change that are blowing through Klal Yisrael now. And use it to affect personal change within ourselves just simply by adding additional positivity. And maybe if we make the most of tonight, the fifth night, the sixth night, the seventh night, who knows? Maybe by Zos Chanukah, which is the holiest day of Chanukah, the night where according to Beis Hillel, the menorah is full. Maybe if each of us do our part in being Mosif HaHolich, in Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah, maybe we'll be Zochem Yeretz Hashem, not to light our menorahs here, in our beautiful homes and with our families, we'll be Zochem Meretz Hashem to gather together by the third Beis HaMikdash to see Aaron HaKohen come out. Can you imagine what Aaron HaKohen is going to look like when he comes out, right? In the big day, Kohuna Gedola, right? Comes out all beautiful and all holy and all pure, and all of us are gathered together in the Azor, in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, just watching him come out ready to kindle the menorah. It doesn't have to be a dream, and it doesn't have to be a far off dream. We have the ability to affect more change than we ever give ourselves credit for. And perhaps if we just internalize the messages of Beis Hillel and Halavai by this Zos Chanukah, we should be Zocha to gather together in the Azara, to be by our Bayis Shlishi, to witness an incredible Tchiyas HaMeisim where all of those who we have lost, not just over the last weeks, but over the last years, thousands of years, Shnei Miratz Hashem be reunited with their people, and Halavai we should be Zocha to celebrate all of that together with the Mashiach Mihera B'Yameinu. Amen. And again, a thank you to the Weisbergs for hosting tonight. A great surplus.